All right, Jabot Seif. Good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Aleph. A lot to do today. This shir is sponsored by Moshe Dvorah Wurdersheim and the merit of Avram Yeshaya Gershom Ben Moshe Mordechai for his success. Good, beautiful, beautiful sponsorship. Mirat Hashem, he should succeed. Bechol Maaseh Yodov. Shkoyach. All right, so it says, we left off by the Gemara on Lamed Amad Beis, 30b. Atu kol hani damrina lav aveda havu. So we'll say it's about seven lines up from the bottom. So remember again, the Mishnah gave an example of an aveda. The example the Mishnah gave was an example of a chamor or a shar, a para, that were wandering by the road. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. These are the only examples of aveda. Everything else that we've spoken about until now, a cloak and money and everything else, is not an aveda. This is what it means to say. So rather, what the Gemara means to say is the following. What is the klal? What is the general principle of aveda? That one is chayiv to announce. If a person sees a donkey or a cow grazing by the road, einzu aveda. So we'll say, if you find an animal grazing by the road, just in general, that type of behavior is not aveda type behavior. And ultimately, again, one would not be chayiv to take the animal and to go ahead and announce it. But if one sees a donkey and ultimately its load is overturned, or part of a ratzav in akramim, or one sees a cow and it's running between the vineyard, so we'll say, remember again, as we spoke about yesterday, running between the vineyard is dangerous for the animal because he get bruised. In addition, ultimately, again, to being destructive for the vineyard itself. Right? And ultimately, this is a type of a behavior that indicates that the animal is an aveda, and you would be chayiv to go ahead and announce it. To which the Gemara says, Uli Olam. Now, how long exactly is it that you're seeing these animals do these things before ultimately it's determined to be an aveda? So Rabbi Huda said the name of Rav, that the idea is it's up until 3 days. That if you see an animal engaging in any of these behaviors for 3 or more days, that indicates that lamaisa, the animal is an aveda. How so? So hey, Hidami, what's the case? So we'll say, if I see an animal out and about at night, so that indicates that it's an aveda. That indicates to me already from the beginning that it's lost. Because again, people don't usually allow their animals out to graze at night. Ibi mama, and if the animal is out by day, afilo tuva nami. Then I don't say, even if the animal is out grazing for more than 3 days, why should it matter? People let their animals graze all the time during the day. To which the Gemara says, lo tzicha, davi chazi la bikadmasa, ubechashechta. So what happens? The case over here is where I see the animal out before the sun comes up and after the sun goes down. So tlasa yomi, if I see the animal like this for 3 days, amrinan isrami isramuyeye. So if I see it for 3 days, I say, okay, perhaps this is normal type of just animal behavior. The animal's grazing. The nafka tfei vadai avedehi. We'll say, but if I see the animal out before sunrise and after sunset for more than 3 days, then what? That indicates that the animal is an aveda. I'd be obligated to go ahead and take it and try to search out its owner. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Achir, right? So that supports this. Matza talis v'kardum. If I find a talis, a cloak, or a kardum is an axe, Dabov Lamed Aleph, Be'israchia. We'll say, Israchia is a public square. Or Paravut Ratza bin Akramim. Or I see a cow running between the vineyards, or in the vineyard. Harezu aveda. This ultimately, again, is considered to be a lost object. Talis b'tzad geder. So if I go ahead and I see a cloak by the side of a fence or side of a wall, kardum b'tzad geder, or I find an axe by the side of a wall, upara roat bein hakramim, or I see a cow that is grazing between the vineyard, ein zu aveda. And both say this is not considered to be an aveda. So this makes sense. Again, remember, say if the ox or if the cow or the talis is replaced by the wall, then lemaisa, again, that indicates intentional placement and it's not an aveda. Remember, this case is a cow grazing between the vineyard. Both say that we're going to see there's a chilik between a cow running between the vines and grazing between the vines. Grazing between the vines, apparently according to the Braisa, is fine. Running between the vines, ultimately, again, is where there's the possibility that there may be some kind of sakana for the animal. Gimel yomim ze'achar zeh. But if I see these things for 3 consecutive days, Hare zu aveda. Then Rabbi said, ultimately, this is called an aveda. So this is just supporting what we just said before. Rabbi said, now, the Braisa introduces another interesting halacha, which we'll come back to at a later date, but it's fascinating nevertheless. Ra'a mayim sheshotfin uboin. Rabbi said, let's say I see water beginning to flood my friend's field. Hare ze goder bifnehem. I should go ahead, and Golda literally means like erect a wall or a fence. In other words, stop the flow of water. But so this is actually a very important yisod, which we'll discuss later on, which is Matzil Nichse Avera Me'ari, or Matzil, I think that's the right lashon. That if I see someone's property being damaged, and I have the ability to stop that damage, that is my halachic imperative. Meaning, let's say, I'll give you just a simple example of this. I go ahead, I walk by Ruvain's house. Reuven left on his hose. He left the hose on, and the water is just running and running and running. So again, conventional wisdom people sometimes think is, you know what, it's not my business. It's not my business. I'm just going to keep going. Again, assuming that you know that this wasn't an intentional thing, you can see it's going by his basement window, he's going to start getting flooded. I have a halachic imperative to go and to shut off his water. Because we will say that's again when I see someone about to be damaged and I have the ability to kind of stave off that damage, that's my responsibility. Again, we'll discuss that in depth. I'm a Rava. So Rava says, where do we know this from? That I have to go ahead, I see my friend's field flooding, that I have to step in and try to prevent that from occurring. So Rava says, because the Torah says, this is what you will do for any lost object of your brother. The rabbos avedas karko. This comes to include not just the loss of metaltalin, not just the loss of movable property, but even a loss of karko, even a loss of real property. I'm Rabbi Chanina the Rava. Tani the Mesei Lecha. Rabbi Chananya said to Rava, I have a brace that supports you. Rava ma'im sheshotfin uboin. If I see that the field is being flooded, I should literally, we'll say goldir means erect defense. But the idea is I should try to prevent the flooding from occurring. So he says, well, if you're going to bring that price it doesn't necessarily support me. Why? What's the case? We'll say that's a case where there were sheaves in the field. So sheaves, remember, are movable property, are metaltalin. So the Bryce is talking about if I see my friend's metaltalin about to be damaged, I'm obligated to step in and to try to prevent that. We already know about metaltalin. But if there are sheaves and we're talking about saving metaltalin from damage, then what is the chiddush? We'll say the cases where there are sheaves, but the sheaves are still attached to the ground. So apparently in this case, which is interesting, is the wheat was bundled while it's still attached to the ground, and ultimately, again, is waiting to be cut. But the sheaves are still receiving some level of sustenance from the ground itself. So, ma'al d'teim, what I've thought, kevan d'tzvichi la'ara ki gufa da'ara damyon, since they still require the ground, perhaps they're considered to be like karka, kamashman, that they're considered to be like metalton. So, both say, bottom line is that the braisa that was quoted does not support the idea that Rava espoused. So, Rava's idea is correct. Namely, that not only do I have an obligation to save my friend's metaltalin, his movable property from damage, but also to save his karka from damage, just the braisa that Rava tried to bring doesn't actually support this idea. Fine. Matza chamaru para. So the Gemara says, how gufa kasha? The Mishnah seems to be inherently contradictory. How so? Amrit, matza chamaru para maderech ein zu aveda. On one hand, we said that if you find a chamor, a donkey, or a cow grazing on the road, so this is not considered to be an aveda. This is not demonstrative that the item is lost. Rowan baderech hu d'lo havi aveda. It's only because it's grazing in the road that it's not considered to be an aveda. Ha-ratza baderech v'ro'a ben akramim havi aveda. But if it were to be running on the road, or grazing within the vineyard, that would be indicative of an aveda. Okay, that's the inference from the resha. Yet, ema seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah, chamor v'kelev hafuchim, if you have a donkey, and its utensils were overturned, or para ratza ben hakramim, or the cow was running in between the vines, hare zu aveda. This is considered to be an aveda. It's only when it's running within the vineyard that it's an aveda. If it was running on the road, or grazing in the vineyard, it would not be an aveda. So which one is it? Omer Abaye, Yogid Alav Reo. So we'll say, literally, the pasuk of Yogid Alav Reo, the pasuk from Iov. So Yogid Alav Reo means his companion will tell about it, although Reo in this context actually literally means thunder. But this expression over here means we could understand one part of the Mishnah from the other part of the Mishnah. How so? Tana, Roa Baderech Talo Havya Aveda. We'll say, so the Mishnah teaches us that if I see an animal grazing on the road, that's not considered an aveda. And this is true if the animal was grazing in the vineyard as well. But yet, again, the Mishnah taught me that if the animal was running in the vineyard, this is considered to be an aveda. And I will say this would be true if what? This is also true if the animal was running on the road. Amrali Rava, so Rava said, Iya gidalav reyo, lisni kilsa, v'kol shekein chamirta. So Rava said, I don't understand. If this is how you're setting up the Mishnah, let the Mishnah write the more machmir case, let the Mishnah write the more mekel case, the more lenient case, and all the more so, the more stringent case. What does that mean? Lisni ratza baderach tahav yaveda. If the Mishnah would have just taught me, that's what? That if an animal runs on the road, meaning we'll say the act of running, the act of an animal just running indicates that what? The animal is lost. That the animal is lost. So if you taught me that when an animal runs on the road, it's considered to be an aveda, the kol shekein ratza ben akramim. All the more so what? If the animal is running in the vineyard, of course it is considered to be an aveda. Because you also remember again, if running on the road indicates that it's lost, running in the vineyard certainly indicates that it's lost, because running in the vineyard comes with another complication, which is what? The accentuated possibility for injury. So the Gemara says, the following, and then also, if you taught me that if the animal is grazing in the vineyard, that's not considered to be an aveda, all the more so what? All the more so if it was grazing on the road. Rather, Rava says, there's no contradiction in the cases of running. How so? This is an incredible yisod. So, when it comes to running, the yisod in life also, when it comes to running, everything depends which direction you're running in. Running by itself, says the Gemara, could be a good thing or could be a bad thing. If the animal is running towards the desert, that indicates that it's lost. If it's running towards the city, which indicates that it's running towards its home, then that indicates that it knows its way. An incredible yisod. Therefore, again, running by definition is parav. Everything depends on the nature or the direction in which it's running. So similarly, again, roa aroa nami lo kasha. So similarly, grazing also is not a contradiction. How so? Kan ba'avedas gufa, kan ba'avedas karka. Oh, let's listen to this. The Mishnah was dealing with two different types of losses. In certain cases, the concern is with the loss of the animal. And in other cases, the concern is with the loss of the vineyard. So the Gemara says, Ki katani roi baderach lahavi aveda. When we said before that if the animal is grazing on the road, it's not considered to be an aveda. Ha roa ben akramim havi aveda. But if the animal grazes within the vineyard, it is an aveda. What is that? What does it mean when it says, if it grazes in the vineyard, it's an aveda? That's not referring to the animal. Rather, avedas karka. It's referring to the vineyard, that if you see an animal grazing in the vineyard, you should step in there, not because the animal is lost, but because the animal may be causing a loss to another person, i.e. the owner of the vineyard. But yet when we learned that if it's running between the vineyards, it is considered to be an aveda. But if it's grazing within the vineyard, it's not an aveda. That's referring what? Ba'avedas gufa. That's referring ultimately again to the animal itself. Bein akramim misakva. So because remember, when it's going ahead and running in between within the vineyard, the animal itself gets bruised. But we'll say if the animal is just simply grazing within the vineyard, it will not get bruised. Meaning the act of getting bruised from the vine is only when the animal ultimately is running. But I don't understand, even if the animal is just grazing within the vineyard, even though the animal is not going to get injured, you should be obligated to step in. Why? To prevent the animal from doing damage to the vineyard itself. To which the Gemara answers, Bidikusi. We're talking about a vineyard of a non-Jew. So I'm not obligated. The mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, of preventing loss to another person, is only a mitzvah towards another Jew. I'm not obligated to do that for a non-Jew. V'seifoklei mishum Aveda skufa, v'dilma katlula. But I understand I should have to go out and get the cow out of the vineyard while I'm bosa, because what's going to happen? When the owner of the vineyard comes along and sees that cow in there, so the kusi is going to say, what is he going to do? He's going to kill the cow. And they kill the cow because the cow is trespassing. To which the Gemara says, "Ba'asra de masra v'hadakatle." They're dealing with them in a place where they wouldn't first kill the cow. Rather, first they would warn the owner, and then only afterwards kill the cow. V'dilma asruba, but maybe they already warned the owner. I asruba v'lo is darube. Vada aveda midasi. I will say, if we're dealing with a case where the owner of the cow was warned, yet what? He still does not take the necessary precautions. Then Lamai said that's called an aveda midas. That's called someone who essentially is knowingly giving up or relinquishing his ownership rights, and therefore I have no obligation. Hechzira ubarcha, hechzira ubarcha. So we'll say, now we're going to get to an interesting sugya. So remember, the Mishnah said that if the animal ran away multiple times, I have an obligation to return it, no matter how many times it ran away. So one of the Rabbanan said to Rava, Ema, Hashav Chadazimna, Teshivim Trezimim. So also remember, the Lashon by Hashavas Aveda is Hashav Teshivim. Maybe it means like this. Hashav means the first time he runs away, you have to return it. Teshivim means the second time, but then, Gamarnu, then we're done. Amarle, no. So to which Rava responded, no, that's not the drush. Rather, Hashav, Afilu Kuf Pamim. Mashal. Rather, we'll say Hashav is an open-ended word that means you have to return the animal no matter how many times it runs away. So what do we learn from Teshivim? Teshivim, we'll say now the first of the widest lines. Ainli Elulabeso, Yunas Elukhavaso. I'm sorry, Ainli Elulabeso. I only know that when I return the animal, I have to return it to the home of the owner. How do I know that I can even return it to the property of the owner? Talmud lomar teshivim mikol makom. The pasuk says you shall return it. Hey chidami, what's the case? Idem intra pshita. So we'll say, what's the case? If the garden or if the ruin is guarded, meaning it's secure, then pshita, then of course I could return the lost object there. But if it's unguarded, meaning if it's an open area, then why should I be able to return the lost object there? To which the Gemara answers, Dimintra, you're right, it is guarded. Oh, so we'll say, what do we learn from Teshivim? So Hashav teaches me that I have to return the item no matter how many times it runs away or it gets lost. Teshivim means I could return it to any secure location of the owner. But what's the Chiddush? The Loba Inan Das Bailim. I do not need the owner's knowledge. I don't need his knowledge. So what that means is that I could deposit the lost object on the property of the owner as long as the property is secure, even without the owner's knowledge. So Rabbi Lozer says that normally when returning an object to someone, so for example, if I borrow something from someone, or I'm guarding something for someone, so the Maisa, when I return the object to them, they have to know that I am returning it. I can't return it without their knowledge. The exception to this rule is Hashavas Haveda. Returning of lost object, I can return without the knowledge of the owner, as long as what? As long as what? I deposit it in a secure location. So now the Gemara is just going to give some other examples of this double lashon. Shaliach to shalach. So we'll say, so this is by shiluach hakan, sending away the mother bird. So to shaliach to shalach. Ema shalach chadazimna to shalach trezimni. Maybe shaliach means one time, and to shalach means two times. Meaning, maybe the maximum number of times that I could send a mother away from its nest is two times. To which the Gemara says, no. Amalei shalach afilu mein padim. Not true. We'll say, you can do shiluach hakan as many times as you want. So as much as the mother keeps coming back, you can keep going ahead and sending her away. So that's shaliach. Tishalach, ainli elul dvarashus. So I only know that I have to do shiluach hakein when I want the chicks or I want the eggs for some mundane purpose, like eating. I want to eat them. However, ledvar mitzvah minayim. So let's say I want to use it for a carbon. Rashi points out, let's say for the carbon of a mitzvah, I want to use it for a carbon. How do I know that I still have to send away the mother bird? Therefore, the pasuk says the shalach, you have to send it. So we'll say, the havamina is, the mibushiluach hakein is only when I'm taking the birds for mundane purposes. But for a mitzvah purpose, I don't have to send away the mother bird. I could just take the eggs or the chicks. Kamash malon to shalach, even for mitzvah purposes, you have to send away the mother bird first. So one of the rabbis said, rather, the ima. So we'll say, now another example. Hocheach tochiach esamisecha. The mitzvah of tochacha. The mitzvah of rebuke, perhaps one of the hardest mitzvos in the Torah. Well, I shouldn't say that. Meaning it comes easily, right, to rebuke someone. But let me rephrase it. Meaning to actually perform it correctly. Because remember, the point of holchacha is to give someone rebuke in a way that makes them want to do and be better. So this is a very careful art form. So the mitzvah of the Torah says, hochiach tochiach. So why the double lashon? Hochiach chadazimna, tochiach trezimni. So maybe also what this means is, if I see someone doing something wrong, hochiach means I have to rebuke them. By the word even rebuke is not really, I don't even like that word, because rebuke sounds negative. Really instruct. Advise, right? Advise. Good. So I might have thought hochiach means that there's a cap of two times. If I see someone doing something wrong, and I'll give him hochacha, and then if he does it a second time, I do it again. But after two times, I'm done. So that's what I would have thought. I'm really no hochiach afilu kuf pamim mashma. I will say it's not true. The mitzvah of hochacha is even 100 times. Tochiach, so listen to this. So tochiach means, where do we learn from tochiach? Only Allah harav l'talmid. So I only know that a rebbe is supposed to give hochacha or tochacha to his talmid, to his student. Talmid l'rav minayin. Rabbi says, how do I know that even if the student sees the rebbe doing something wrong, that the student should give the rebbe tochacha as well? Talmud lomar hochiach tochiach mikomok. It was an amazing halacha. Amazing halacha, because you have to understand the mitzvah of hochiach tochiach esamisecha is a mitzvah of love. It's a mitzvah of love. It's not the pshat that, gotcha. Right? It's a mitzvah that I care about. So, again, very appropriate to Rav Levi Yitzchak's Yartzeit, as we spoke about before. So again, if I love someone and I see someone doing something wrong, so I want them to be better because I know the kedusha they have. So therefore, the Torah says, you might have thought this only applies from a Rebbe to a Talmud. No, Kalashah, no, even from a Talmud to a Rebbe. If a Talmud sees a Rebbe doing something wrong, ultimately, the Talmud has to give the Rebbe proper tochacha, bakavadik tochacha as well. Why? Out of a love for the Rebbe to do the right thing. So the Gemara goes weiter. Azov ta'azov imo. So we'll say, so this is talking about, so if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, azov ta'azov is prika. This is by the mitzvah of unloading an animal. That if I see that an animal is buckling under its load, so the halach is azov ta'azov imo, I have to go ahead and help the owner remove the load from the animal. Ainli ella ba'alavimo. I only know if this is to be true of what? If the owner is with the animal, because we will say the lashon of the pasuk is, kisira chamor sonacha rovetz tachas hasov, v'chadaltum azov ta'azov imo. So I only know that I have to help if the owner is present. So she'ela ba'alavimo, shen ba'alavimo minayin. How do I know that even if the owner is not there, I still have to help unload the animal? Talmud lomar azov ta'azov mikol makom. That's the extra ta'azov, Rabosai. Hakim takim imo. Furthermore, again, the pasuk says hakim takim Rabosai. So Rashi points out hakim takim is ti'ino. That if the load fell off the animal, I'm obligated to help put the load back on. So inli ella ba'alavimo. I only know that's true if what? If the owner is present. How do I know that I have to help even if the owner is not present? Talmud lomar hakim takim mikol makom. The additional lashon of takim teaches me that even if the owner is not present, I have to help reload the animal. Then we'll say, now I want to be clear. When we say present, remember Rashi Kodesh points out in this pasuk, he says that if the owner is there and the owner chooses not to help with his own animal, then if the owner doesn't help, I don't have to help. This is talking about the owner's not present. So if the owner's not present, how do I know that I have to help unload or reload the animal? That's the extra word. So Mark goes weiter. Now, why do I need the Torah to mention this both by Prika and Tina? Why do I need the Torah to mention this both by unloading and loading the animal. I mean, he just teaches me by one of them, and I would have understood that even if the owner is not there, I have an obligation to help out the animal. Because his Torah would have just taught me about the obligation to unload the animal, even if the owner is not present. I would have said, I have to unload the animal, because there's an issue of tzar bali chayim, the animal suffering under its load. Furthermore, there's an active loss that the owner is going to endure because the animal is buckling under the weight of its load. That's when I'm obligated to go ahead and help out, even if the owner is not there. But also when it comes to reloading the animal, because the pasuk says there's no tzar bali chayim if the animal doesn't have its load on it. Furthermore, there's no loss being caused ultimately to the owner. I would have thought that perhaps if the owner's not there, I am not obligated to participate in this. And if it would have just said Tina, Mishum de Bishar. Now, the Gemara is going to say something here that we're going to learn later on, which is, I would have thought that if it would have just said by Tina, the reason I'm obligated to help out is because when somebody helps me load my animal, I'm obligated to pay them. Again, we'll talk about the intricacies of that. About prika de bechinam emelo, but prika, which you have to do, unloading the animal, which you have to do even for free. Perhaps, again, there is no obligation to do it if the owner is not present. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, I will say both are needed. Ulrab Shimon damar aftina bechina ma'ikal emimar, but according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that you even have to go ahead and load the animal for free, then what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, Rav Shimon lo masai mikra. According to Rav Shimon, ultimately, again, the psukim themselves are not clear. Well, according to Rav Shimon, it's not clear which pasuk is talking about prika, which pasuk is talking about ti'ino, and therefore you need both. To which the Gemara says, lamali l'mechtav hanitartiv, lamali l'mechtav aveda. So now, essentially, we have three different psukim. One by Priga, which teaches me that if I see the animal buckling under its load, I have to unload the animal, and the chiddush is what? Even if the owner is not present. Similarly, if the load fell off the animal, I'm obligated to help reload the animal, even if the owner is not present. And number three, I'm obligated to go ahead and return a lost animal to the owner, no matter how many times it escapes. So the Gemara says, why do I need all three of these? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Tzvichi, because of Rahman Hani Tari Mishun, the Tzare Demara Isa, Tzare Dida Isa. So it says, I might have thought that if it would have written these two, i.e. pre-cantina, I have to help out there. Why? Because there is the tsar of the owner, and there's also the tsar of the animal. Aval aveda, the tsar de mar isa, the tsar de dolesa. But I will say, in the case of an aveda, where there's tsar to the owner, because he doesn't have his animal, but there's no tsar to the animal, Emelo, perhaps, again, I'm not obligated to constantly participate in this mitzvah, no matter how many times the animal escapes. V'yashmein in aveda, mishum de lesa lamar abada. Furthermore, had it just taught me aveda, the reason I'm obligated to go ahead and help out is why? Because the owner is not present. Amud beis. Aval hanitarti, the isa lamar abada, Emelo. Rabbi said, ultimately, again, in these other cases, where presumably under most circumstances the owner is present, perhaps again I'm not obligated to help out. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, the ma'aseh again, I'm obligated to go ahead and participate. So, both sides. So, bottom line, the point you see the pattern over here in the Gemara is all of these cases, the double lashon that's used, we learn something out from the double lashon. So, in the case of aveda, hashev teshivim teaches me that what? That no matter how many times the animal gets lost, so to speak, I'm obligated in Hashavas Aveda. So by Prikin Ti'ina, the double ocean teaches you that even if the owner is not present, I'm obligated to go ahead and help out. Another example, Mos Yumas Hamake. So we'll say, so the pasuk says that if somebody killed another individual, so we're obligated to go and put the murderer to death. We execute the murderer. So Mos Yumas Hamake. I only know for the prescribed death penalty. Now, if somebody kills another individual, so the death penalty that Beis Din would administer would be saif, death by a sword. Death by a sword. How do I know that if for some reason we can't administer saif, that you could kill him any other way you want to? Beis Din wants. In other words, how do I know that even if for some reason, I don't know, there's not a sword, whatever it is, right? So how do I know that L'maisa, again, we use a different form of execution to kill him? Which the Gemara says, Minayim shim im iata yachol la'miso misa k'suvo, shatarashay la'miso b'chol misa, sha'ata yachol la'miso. Talmud Lomar, Mos Yumas Mikomakom. Because the pasuk says, Mos Yumas, he shall surely die. The double lashon teaches me, you execute him however you can. Haketake, so we'll say, Haketake is by Irani Dachos. Right, so remember, Irani Dachos is a city where all of the inhabitants worship idolatry. So the halacha is that you wipe out the entire city. Wipe out the entire city. So Haketake, so we'll say, I only know with the prescribed death penalty. So we'll say, again, that's also by saif, by sword. So how do I know? We'll say, how do I know that if for some reason I can't execute them by sword, that I could go ahead and kill out the city by any means at my disposal? Talmud Lomar, Hake Take Mikomakum. So we'll say, see the pattern over here. So you see the pattern that wherever you see the additional lashon, right, which at first glance appears to be extraneous, is giving you more leeway. Well, it depends how you interpret it, but in these cases, it's giving you more leeway in the manner or method ultimately of execution. So the Gemara goes weiter. So Hashav Tashiv, Ainli Ela. So we'll say, this is talking about over here of if you took collateral from someone. So if you took collateral, so the Torah says that you're obligated to go ahead and give back the collateral. So what this is talking about over here is the following. Let's say I took someone's pajamas. I took their pajamas as collateral. So the Torah requires me that every single night I have to go back. Let's say I took it from Reuven. I have to go back to Reuven's home and give him back his pajamas. And then the next morning, I could go back and get them back from him. Same, so I'm using pajamas, but same idea. If I borrowed his, if I took as collateral his suit, and he has one suit that he wears to work, I could take it at night, but by day I have to give it back to him. So Hashav Tashive, Hashav Tashiv, I have to give him back the collateral. So says the Gemara, Eini Ela Shema Shachno Bereshus Beis Din. This only tells me collateral that I took with Reshus of Beis Din. However, Shalom Rishos Beis Din, I will say, how do I know that even if I took collateral without the Rishos of Beis Din, that I still have to go ahead and, give it back? Talmud Lomar, Hoshev Toshev Mikomokum. Chobol Tachbol, so we'll say again, same idea, the Torah says, Im Chobol Tachbol Samas Ve'echo, Adbo HaShemesh Teshivenelo, same idea, that Lamaisa Chobol Tachbol, I took it as collateral, how do I know that I have to give it back when he needs it? Eimi Ela, Shemashach No Bershus. This is only if I took it with Rishus. Mashachno shalo b'Rishus. I mean, I don't know that even if I took it without Rishus, I still have to return it when he needs it. Tamal Omar, Chaval Tachbol Mikomakom. V'hani Tarti Krai Lamali. So we'll say, so here's the question. We seemingly have two psukim that teach me the same exact thing, namely, that when the debtor needs that collateral, I'm obligated to give it back to him. And then when he no longer needs it, I'm permitted to take it back. Why do I need two psukim that teach me the same thing? Oh, I'll tell you why. One teaches me what? For daytime garments, and one teaches me for nighttime garments. That Rabosa again, the Torah teaches me that I'm permitted to always go ahead and take the garment at the time that the borrower, that the debtor, does not need it. But at the time that he needs it, I'm obligated to return it to him, and then when he no longer needs it, I'm permitted to take it back. Pasach tiftach. So let's remember again, it's by tzedakah. Torah says, Ki pasach tiftach es yadcha lo. So why does it say pasuach tiftach? So listen, it's very important halacha. So I only know that I'm obligated to go ahead and support the aniyim of my own city. How do I know that I'm even obligated to go ahead and support the poor of another city? Talmud Lomar, Pasoach Tiftach Mikomakum. So we'll say, remember, Pasoach teaches me the aniyim of my own city. Tiftach teaches me what? The aniyim of other cities. So we'll say, now we know, again, Halach L'maisa, Aniyei Ircha Kodmim, right, that the poor of my own city take precedence over the poor of other cities. But L'maisa, there's still an obligation to help support all aniyim. Nason Titein. We'll say, this is amazing. You shall surely give him. So what does this mean? But I only know that I'm obligated to give him a large gift. Matanamu etes minayin. How do I know that I'm obligated even to give him something small? Talmud lomar nason titein mikamakom. Because we'll say ultimately, again, I might have thought that I'm obligated, just obligated to give him something big to make a dramatic difference in his circumstances. How do I know that even if I can't give a ani something big to make a dramatic difference, I'm still obligated to give him something small? Because even something small makes a little bit of a dent. That's the second titein. Also means if you can give big, give big. Titein means that even if you give something small. So the Gemara says, Ha'anik Tanik. So listen to this. Hanukkah. So remember again, Hanukkah is by the Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri goes out after 6 years. Torah, you have to give him Hanukkah. Hanukkah also means that you have to give him is amazing. Like almost like a severance package, like a golden parachute. So when he goes out and he leaves servitude, you have to give him Megarncha, Yigvecha, you have to give him from all of your produce. So the Torah says, Ainli Allah, so the Gemara says, Ainli Allah, Shinisbare Chabayis Biglalo Ma'anikim Lo. Lo Nisbare Chabayis Biglalo Minayin. So we'll say, now the Lashon of the Torah is that you have to give him Hanukkah. Why? Because your home was blessed as a result of him. So I only know that I have to give an Eved Ivri Hanukkah when my home was blessed, meaning when his presence in my home was a good thing. But how do I know that I'm obligated to give him Hanukkah, even if what? Even if I didn't experience, even if he wasn't such a good worker, or even if I didn't experience a great windfall when he was with me? So, Talmud Lomar, Ha'anik Tanik Mikomokom. Torah says, Ha'anik Tanik, you shall surely go ahead and give him no matter what. Oh, Rabbi Lazar ben Azari, the Amr Nisparech Abayis B'lalo Ma'anikin Lo, Lo Nisparech Abayis B'lalo Ima'anikin. So, Tanik Lamli, so we'll say, but apparently, there is the Shita Rabbi Lazar ben Azari, who says, no, that when are you obligated to give him Hanukkah? Only when the household objectively benefited from his presence. But if the household did not benefit from his presence, there is no obligation of Hanukkah. If that's the case, then what do we do with the Pasuk of Tanik? Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam. Ultimately, again, the Torah is what? The Torah is just using a normal verbiage. The Torah is speaking like the way people speak. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. Havet Taviten. We're supposed to listen to this. It's actually a very important halacha. So now after we finished talking about the obligation to give tzedakah, Havet Tavitenu means you shall also surely lend him money. If somebody needs a loan, you should lend the money. Ein li ela she'ein lo ve'ina rota lehisparnes. Amarachmana tein lo derech halva. So we'll say, Have Tavitino is talking about someone who doesn't have money, but doesn't want to accept tzedakah. So what do we do for such an individual? We convince him to accept the loan. Accept the convince, because hopefully again, he'll accept the loan, and this way again, his dignity is intact. Right? Yeshlo. How do I know that even if a person has money, but for whatever reason, he's not willing to support himself? Right? He's not willing to support himself. You know, you have people, Nebuch, who are not well. They're not willing to support themselves from their own money. That I should still try to go ahead and what? Give him a loan so that he could be supported. Talmud Lomar, Tavitenu Mikomokom. Therefore, the Torah says Tavitenu, which is about to say that even if the guy has his own money, but for some reason, some type of illness, he's not willing to support himself, but he's willing to support himself through other people's money, that you should convince him to take a loan. So the Gemara says Tavitenu. So we'll say Sahavet means that if a person doesn't have, but doesn't want to accept tzedakah, convince him to accept the loan. Tavitenu means if a person does have, but for whatever reason is not willing to spend his own money, so convince him to take a loan so that he can support himself and his family. So I will say, if a person has money, but for some reason, some shtuyot, he's not willing to support himself, we are not obligated to arrange for loans for such an individual. We're not obligated to give him tzedakah. We're not obligated to go out and be metapel with such, to get involved with such an individual. So what does Ta'avitenu teach us? It teaches us Dibra Torah Kalosha Menei Adam. So as according to Reb Shimon, there's really nothing to be learned out from Ta'avitenu. Instead, Ta'avitenu is just the regular Lashon Menei Adam. It's just the way that people normally talk. Haya Batal Min Hasela. So let's begin this sugya. So remember again, the Mishnah said that Lamaisa, if let's say again, I was working, and then what happened? And then again, there's an Aveda, and let's say again, by stopping to work, so I will go ahead and lose out on a Sela of income, so I can't go ahead and say, give me the sela that I would have, that I lost. Rather, the owner of the aveda pays me like a poel. So the Gemara says, tnan. No sin, no schar, like a poel bottle. So we'll say, so the owner of the aveda is obligated to compensate me like a poel bottle. My kipoel bottle. So we'll say, what does it mean like a poel bottle? Right? Poel bottle means literally like somebody who's paid, being like somebody who's paid not to do anything. So when I buy, no. Kipoel bottle shall also malacha to bottle mine. Rather, we'll say what it means is, like, look at Rashi. Kipoel bottle shall also malacha to bottle mine. Kama adam rota litol, ulafachos mischaro, the batal mi malacha zu kevelo shu asik ba, v'la'asak bi malacha kala kizu. So we'll say, listen to this. The way we pay the person is the following. So let's say I'm working, but my job pays me a lot of money, but it also has a lot of effort. How much money would a person be willing to accept for a job that requires less effort? So I'm saying everybody has days like this, right? Where you go ahead and you say to yourself, you know what? I would go ahead and I see that guy's job. I would make less money to have less stress. So the Gemara says over here, how much would a person go ahead, and how much less money would a person accept in order to have less stress? So a less stressful job. So the assumption is over here that returning in Aveda is a less stressful job. So Lemaisa, again, how much less money would I be willing to accept in order for that? So that's the amount ultimately, again, that would pay us into. So just look at that, Rashi, just 1 second. So Rashi says, "Kama adam rota litol, how much would a person be willing to accept velifchos mischaro and go ahead and diminish his income libatal mimalacha zu kiveda shu osek ba, in order to go ahead and stop doing this work that he's currently engaged in, that's an intense malacha, velasok bimalacha kala kazu, and only go ahead and engage in a lesser intense malacha like this one being the returning of an aveda, hakol lefi kovet hamalacha." We'll say all is in accordance with the intensity of the work, v'ribui schar, and the amount of return. So we'll say, so essentially what we say is the following. Assuming the guy made a lot of money from his malacha, the assumption also is that's because he worked hard. So how much less money would he be willing to accept for a low-pressure job? That's the amount of money that we compensate him ultimately for taking time out of his high-pressure job in order to go ahead and return the aveda. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. Shkoyach. I'm sorry.